I'm getting to the point where I am taking fault. Now, I don't take fault for things that ain't my fault. If God can't make someone live for him, I can't make him live for him. If God can't make somebody pray, and he don't want to make you pray, he gives you the privilege to pray, and it's up to you to use it. You know, what I'm saying, guys, I really believe that if the student hasn't learned, then the teacher hasn't taught. When you got some kids, hon, that no matter how hard you try, you know they're not going to learn nothing because they don't want to learn, you know? But when you get a student that may even be challenged in areas, you know, of study, but if they have a heart to learn, they can learn. They can be OCD and learn like I did. And, you know, I still line stuff up and stuff, but I'm getting better. And, and I see things backwards sometimes. That's okay, I hope. But I do believe that if the student hasn't learned, when hungry people haven't learned, then the teacher hasn't taught. And if I teach, you're gonna learn. So I just gotta know if I did any good at all teaching last night. And if you and if you didn't get it, I'm not gonna blame you. I'm gonna blame me. So I'm just gonna find out, because I won't know when I do this if I did a decent job or not. I present to you the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I present to you the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I present to you your healer. I present to you your savior. I present to you Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. I eat the rat of us. You may be seated. Is anybody here particularly good at shouting? Anybody here? Can anybody here do a good job shouting? Would somebody just shout, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, for some folks, they'll say, well, Brother John just got folks getting emotional. But we praise with understanding around here. And we know when the church shouts that the devil's saying woe on us because we can't win, because God is in that camp and those people are shouting and God's going to stay in that camp. Is this on? It's on, right? Okay, good. In the name of Jesus, I bind poverty and I loose prosperity. In the name of Jesus, I bind sickness and disease and loose the stripes of Jesus Christ by which you are healed. In the name of Jesus, I bind fear and I loose faith. In the name of Jesus, I bind poverty and loose prosperity. In the name of Jesus, I bind every demon from hell. I bind all principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of the things of this world. I bind all spiritual wickedness in high places, and I loose angels to do warfare in the second heaven, that we have victory. In the name of Jesus, I bind the works of the devil and release the works of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind the lies of the devil and release the truth of God's word. In the name of Jesus, I bind all curses and release the blessing of Abraham. I know what some may be thinking right now. Well, there he goes again. You know, if it wasn't him, it'd be Brother Stroop or Sister Frida or anyone. It'd be Bob Brown. Somebody get up and start talking this binding and loosing and taking authority and casting out devils and walking in victory. That is just preacher talk and hype. And well, you know, that would be true, except in Matthew chapter 16, around the 13th verse, Jesus Christ comes up to his disciples and he says, hey guys, tell me, you know, you're out amongst the people more than I am. Why don't you tell me, just who do men say that I am? Now you need to know that your concept of Jesus Christ, your worship will never be greater than your revelation. Your faith will never be greater than your revelation of Christ. Faith does not come from academics alone. Academics are to give me a greater vision of his plan, of him, so that I can believe for more. That ought to make me praise for more. But had Jesus came one day and he says, guys, tell me, who do men say that the Son of Man am? You know, what are they saying about me out there? Well, you know, one of the guys, I don't know which one said it, but Bob, one of them says, well, some folks say that you're John the Baptist, reincarnated. While those people, those religious folks were so caught up they were so messed up that they actually believed that the Old Testament taught reincarnation, which it never, and plus, guys, think about it. John the Baptist is Jesus' first cousin. So he's only 6 months older than Jesus, and he just got whacked by Herod. So, you know, Jesus was already walking around alive while John the, so that even if you believed in it, and I don't, that God don't work in reincarnation. He makes new creatures. And they say, oh, come on, guys, you know better than that. Oh, well, some of them say that you got to be Elias, or which is New Testament for Elijah. Well, that's maybe a little bit more feasible, because at least he left this world in a human body, so he's going to come back in a human body, and I believe it'll be during the Great Tribulation period. And then someone says, well, you know, some say you're Jeremiah, that reincarnation stuff again. And then another guy says, if you ain't Elijah and you ain't Jeremiah, you got to be one of the other prophets come back to life, because only prophets do what you do. And he says, okay, guys, I understand. I understand that the general public don't know who I am, but who do you say I am? I'm not preaching to novice tonight. I'm not preaching to people that have no depth tonight. Who do you, my disciples, the disciplined ones, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Simon Peter steps out and he says, man, he didn't say man, I threw that in there. Simon Peter steps out and says, because Simon Peter is the guy that should have been born with a lollipop flip because it was always in his mouth. And he steps out and he says, I think I know, I'm pretty sure I know. I've done some study about the Old Testament prophecies. And if you ain't the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'd eat my hat. You're the Christ. And then Jesus comes back and says, blessed art thou. How many of you feel privileged tonight that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you feel blessed tonight that you know him? Do you feel honored? And he says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood cannot reveal this unto a man, only my Father which is in heaven. You are saved tonight because the Holy Ghost took your blinders off, and suddenly that Bible that never made any sense to you started coming alive in your life. Suddenly, when you heard the word, it thrilled you because it was bread to your soul. It was river. And what I'm saying, that is a supernatural act of God. We cannot get a spiritual revelation unless God himself gives it. then he goes and says, man, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood cannot reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. This is such a powerful truth, Simon, that upon this truth or upon this rock, I'm not Simon Peter, he's Pebble. Upon the rock, Jesus Christ, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the church ain't this building, and it ain't that floor, and it ain't these pews. The church is you. And you ought to be shouting right now, because it says, upon this truth, I'm going to build you. And mark it down. If you'll stand in authority, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. They cannot. That's good news. And then he says, furthermore, I give to you the keys of my kingdom. And guys, plural keys, more than one, and I know. Someone's sitting there right now and say, Brother John, the last time you were here a year ago, thereabouts, you talked a little bit about the keys. Well, you can talk till the cows come home and never cover all that these keys mean to you. Guys, you don't do it, but I do it, and I'm guilty of it. I read the Bible, and I just, like I'm reading a book. It comes in a book form, but it's not a book, a mere book. The Word of God is quick. The Word of God is alive. It's living, and it produces the life of God in the hearer and the believer. And Jesus says, upon this truth, I will build my church, and my church ought to be assailing hell. It's not us being attacked by hell and barely surviving to next Sunday. It's us saying, you can't have our children anymore. You can't. The church needs to become more militant when it comes to attacking the gates of hell for the things that belong to us. And he says, and upon me, upon Jesus, I'm going to build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Furthermore, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. Plural keys, more than one, at least two. And of would also imply plural, because if I give you the keys to the kingdom, like if I gave you the keys to John's kingdom, it would get you in my crib. But if you needed a gun, it wouldn't get you in the gun cabinet. And if the medicine was locked up, it wouldn't get you in the medicine cabinet. And if there was any money in the safe, it wouldn't get you in the safe. But when I have the keys of the kingdom, I don't just get in the house. If I need a weapon, I've got the key to the armory. If I need medicine, I got, are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus said, I give you the keys of my kingdom. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Saints of God, this is a significant, significant, significant breakthrough. God's saying, I've saved you. I've come into your heart as your Lord and Savior. I've given you the keys to my entire kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth, I'll back your play in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. Now, God spoke to me. I mean, really spoke to me for days now. But last night was, I wanted to preach something else tonight. I wanted to go another direction, because we've all heard messages and binding and loosing, and I've preached a bunch of them. But God will not let me go past this point in my part of this camp meeting, this Holy Ghost revival, till I preach this. Because God said to me to tell you that somebody's going to bind something tonight, and it's going to stay bound. And somebody's going to loose something tonight, and it's going to stay loose. And all the forces of hell. See, I want to preach to you about a topic And I want to share with you. 6 years ago, I got a horrible report from my doctor. It was terrible. My wife wept like a baby. My daughter literally, I fainted, just boom, out on the floor. My son was weeping, holding his mother, and frankly, I was in shock. And I told God, Brother Kenny, I told God if he let me live, I told him that if he let me live, that everywhere I go, that I didn't care if they were drier than cracker juice, that I would praise him everywhere I go, that if they marked me as a madman, that if he let me live, I would use my life to praise and magnify the Lord. I made God a vow. I made God a promise. And how many think a preacher ought to keep his promises to God? How many believe a man? I don't care if people write me off, Jane, as some wacko. I gave God my word, and he gave me back my life. And I'm going to tell you something right now. He's worthy of praise. I said he's worthy of praise. I said that to say this. The principle I'm going to share with you tonight was what God gave me that spared my life. There was only a few people that God even allowed me to share my condition with, because God spoke to me, Brother Kenny, and he said, if you tell too many people, all they'll do is fill your heart with doubt, and they'll fill you with fear, and I spoke to you. Now, if God don't speak to you about getting healed, you better get to see the doctor, and you better, I believe all good and perfect gifts come from above. Medicine is good, but healing is perfect. The doctors didn't give me any hope, so it was pretty easy for me to believe God, but God spoke to me. And he says, you can call your mentor, T.L. Lowry, and tell him. And you could call Pat Shastline and tell him. And you can call Ronnie Hefferly in Maryville, Tennessee, and tell him. And you can tell your pastor. And that was the only four ministers that God allowed me to speak this to. And Dr. Lowry saw me. Well, I'm 195 pounds right now. And Dr. Lowry saw me at 160. And you know what he said to me? He walked up to me. And he didn't say, you look sick, son. He didn't say, you know, you don't look too good. You know what he said? He said, you look healed, son. You looking really good. You understanding what I'm saying? I'm telling you, when I'm about to preach to you, saved my life. When doctors gave up, when everything this world could do to save me couldn't do me any good, when I'm telling you, I'm like David tonight. I'm not going to war with Saul's armor. I'm going to war with an armor I have proven, with something I know works. So if I get a little emotional tonight, you got to cut me some slack. The power of the blessing is magnificent, saints. The word blessing, when you see it used in the Bible, it means to ask, to invoke God's divine favor. Now, I'm going to read to you a bunch of definitions here because I don't speak Hebrew. This is important, though, guys, because the English doesn't do Hebrew justice. This, what I'm about to share with you, the word blessing means to ask or devote God's, or invoke, pastor used the word, God's divine favor. Do you know what the word favor means in the Bible? It means to be pursued by God's grace for the purpose of blessing. So when I bless something, that person or that thing is being pursued now by the grace of God for the purpose of somebody shout hallelujah. That's why God says to us, this power of the blessing is so powerful. Don't you be laying hands on somebody suddenly, because when a child of God speaks something, there ain't no, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? It means to ask or invoke God's divine favor for your situation, circumstance, or condition. By blessing someone or something, you are in fact invoking change. This is important. Why is it so important? Because how many of you were once a sinner? Let me see your hands. The rest of you are fibbing. That means we were all born under the curse of the law of sin. The curse of the law of sin, Rose says, because of sin, we will suffer poverty. We will be sick. We will be in constant battle. And all the other maladies that go. What are you saying, Brother John? Well, when I got saved from the curse of the law of sin to walk in the blessing of Abraham. Which means, listen, the only part of me that is completely saved is my spirit. My spirit man will never need a healing. My spirit man will never need deliverance. My spirit man can't get no more saved than what it is. But I don't know if y'all noticed something lately. My flesh and your flesh will sin at the drop of a hat. And our minds can wander into bad areas just as quick as they ever have. Why? Because our mind isn't saved and our flesh isn't saved. Therefore, it is exposed to the coice of the law of sin. But we're not helpless against this coice because our spirit man is born again in Jesus. And Jesus said, because now you've made me your rock, I give you the keys of my kingdom. And whatever you bind in your flesh, I'll bind in heaven. And whatever you... But if I don't do any binding and I don't do any loosing, these blessings of God just don't happen because I'm saved. They happen as I apply them. Well, Numbers chapter 6, voice 22. Now, I'm not trying to make a bunch of scratch on you, but I've got this message that I preached years ago. I haven't preached it in years, on DVD out there. And you need to get it because you're not going to get it all tonight. You're not even going to get most of it tonight. But I'm telling you, I apply this principle every day to me, my wife, and my children. And it is this one truth has, outside being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and praise and worship, has changed my life and blessed it. I'm alive tonight because this works. Do you understand it? And the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, the word Lord is going to be used several times in the next few voices. It is very important because he's the one that said to Moses to tell the people this. And he's the one that told me to preach it. And he said, if I'd preach it and you'd do it, you'd get it. The word Lord here is the Hebrew word Yahweh. Now, that is significant in the sense that it really is significant. In the sense that the word Yahweh, we need to understand what it means and how it's applied. The word in Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says, and God, and God, and God, and God said, the word for God there is the Hebrew word Elohim. The word Elohim means all powerful. All authority, almighty, self-existing, eternal God. But the word Elohim in and of itself only presents God. It is never used in relationship by itself. It presents God's power. It reveals God's authority. In other words, all your sinner friends that say they believe in God but they don't serve God, they are aware of Elohim. Now, the word Yahweh is the word Elohim with something in front of it. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning with voice 4 and through voice 8, I know it's said four times, it says, and the Lord God. And the reason why Lord God is used is because God could create everything that existed, and all he had to reveal was Elohim, because he said it, boom, it was there. But in Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, he is creating man. And he is creating man for intimacy and relationship, knowing that man was going to fall And through the fall of man, someone, Jesus, would have to die on the cross, shed his blood, so covenant could be made with man and bring him back into relationship. Are you hearing this? This is powerful. So in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, it says, the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God. The word there is a compound word, and it is Jehovah Elohim. Now, the word Jehovah is only used in connection with the blood covenant. So he's talking about the covenant before man even fell, because God had the plan of salvation before the foundation. Is this good stuff? Someone tell me if you think it's good stuff, because if you're bored with it, but I got to share this with you. So the word, the name Jehovah, is the covenant name of God. It is so much involved in the blood covenant that in the book of Leviticus, the word Jehovah appears 74 times, because the Leviticus is the Old Testament book on the blood. It's all a typology of the cross of Calvary. So Jehovah is the name that refers to the covenant of God, which makes relationship and victory possible. That ought to make you shout, because the word Yahweh is the name Jehovah and Elohim as a compound word. It is Jehovah Elohim. In other words, God chose to put mercy before his power, to put relationship before authority. Do you understand? Now it gets even better. The reason why it's called Yahweh is because the application here is Jehovah Elohim, or the covenant God, using all of his creative power to do what? The name Yahweh is the covenant name of God to show his power and authority to do something specific. When Moses is walking around in the desert and he runs into a bush that's burning, but it ain't burning up, and God starts talking to him from the bush, Moses is cool with the program, but he's afraid the people won't be. So he says, okay, God, I'll go, but you're gonna have to tell me by what authority so I can tell them. And God says, I am. You just tell them I am. Well, look it up for yourself. You'll find out I'm not making this up. It was translated I am, because he is the great I am. But the Hebrew word there for I am is Yahweh. That's why when Jesus says, I am that I am, they wanted to whack him, because he was saying, I am Jehovah Elohim. And he wasn't telling, guys, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and by him were all things made. But he was saying, I am the creator. I'm the one that did it. Now, this is so cool. And he says, you tell him that I am sent you. In other words, Jehovah Elohim, Yahweh, with something on the end, it means eternal, everlasting, first and the last, beginning and the end, the same title of Jesus Christ. In other words, it was Jesus that made the covenant blessing, or gave us the ability to evoke change by binding and loosing. Now, the cool thing is, guys, the name Jehovah Elohim, Yahweh, beginning and the end, eternal God, using all of his power to produce the covenant. What is the covenant for? It is to bring men out of bondage. So it is the title Yahweh that God gives of himself whenever he speaks of his covenant power to bring men out of bondage. So God says, I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. And the way you do that is by speaking blessing. When you read the Gospels, you will find out that Jesus very rarely cursed anything. He cursed the fig tree for not being productive. He bound things. He cast out devils. Most of the time, when Jesus was confronted with a problem, all he did was speak a blessing over it, and the blessing invoked the change. Would somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise? I'm hurrying. Case in point, he's preaching for 3 days. Jesus preached for 3 days. People think I'm long-winded. Jesus preached for 3 days, and then he says, the people have not so much left to get food. So he looks at his staff, and he says, feed them. The staff says, Jesus, there's not even a Piggly Wiggly out here. There's not a Walmart. If we're going to feed 5,000 men and their wives and children, we better receive an offering. So they receive an offering, man. And you know what curse they're dealing with here? It's got to be the curse of poverty. Because even a man, when you receive an offering from 5,000 people, and the best you can come up with is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now that's some broke folk. Are you hearing me? That's some broke folk. But what did Jesus do? He took that little offering and he didn't start cursing all kinds of stuff. He just took it and he blessed it. Are you hearing me? He blessed it. And suddenly it was more than enough to feed the multitude. And Jane, there was more left over. What I'm trying to say, it's not enough just to bind the devil. You've got to loose an angel in its place. It's not enough to bind the works of the devil. You've got to loose the works of Jesus Christ. In other words, you bind the bad and you loose the good. I'll tell you something else the devil don't want you to know. You can't make your kid get saved. You can't make them serve God, but they can't stop you from blessing them either. You ain't listening, are you? Well, I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it. That's fine. Bless you. You're a tongue-talking, fireball, saved, spirit-filled believer. You're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You're gonna walk in the will of God. Go dip out. You can't make them get saved, but they can't stop you. You said, Brother John, what are you talking about? Whatever you bind in the way. Well, and Yahweh spake unto Moses saying, what did he say? Anybody want to know? Voice 23, that's what he said. No, he didn't say voice 23. He speak unto Aaron and his sons saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. At this point, the children of Israel are rebellious, backbiters. I'm not being vulgar. If you don't want to hear the truth, cover your ears right now. They had some wild parties. These are not exactly candidates for the Hall of Faith, but yet they were God's promised children. He promised them the promised land. The only problem is they can't possess the land until their character. Never let your gifting take you where your character can't keep you. So they can't get the promise until their character matches the promise. So now, God could just say, well, you just keep buking, keep buking lust and keep buking. You need to do that. But he says, you know what? I want you to speak a blessing over them. I want you to start declaring what kind of people they're going to become. I want you to start calling them holy and righteous and delivered. And do you understand? The devil has no power over your child. The devil did not give birth to your child. He does not have authority over your child. You have authority over that child. And whatever you bind on earth, God will bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. Now, so he says, in this wise you shall bless. In other words, the blessing changed the character so that the people can then receive the blessing. Do you understand that? In this way, you know what the word bless is here? Whenever you read the word bless throughout this next few voices, it is the Hebrew word barak. The word barak, see, it means to bow. It means to make someone the object of your affection. It means to adore and speak to the children of Israel and bless them. In other words, he says, barak them. In fact, every time you see the word bless or blessing or blessed in the entire Old Testament, 80% of the time, it's the Hebrew word barak. It means to make one the object of your affection, bowing and adoring them with all that is within you. Oh, and by the way, and vice versa. In other words, as I make God the object of my affection and I adore him with all that is within me, then God begins to vice versa. That's why you get blessed when you worship. So what he's saying to you, Jane, he says, speak over Robbie, speak over Christy, and make them the object of God's affection. Speak a blessing on them. And you know what? I'll bless them. Do you understand? You might have a child right now in a crack house or a jailhouse, and God says, if you'll put my blessing on them, I'll make them the object of my affection. No matter what they're doing, I'm going to... See, you have a choice. On this wise you shall barak the children of Israel, saying unto them, next voice please, are you enjoying this? May the Lord bless thee, barak thee. In other words, all these things he does by pouring out his affection on you, and keep thee. The word keep here means, in the Hebrew, you know what I need? It means that God is a hedge about you. You got a child in rebellion? Then speak a blessing over them. You got a child with a habit? Speak a blessing over them. It's usually just the opposite of whatever they're struggling. It means that God is a, when you barak somebody or bless them, that God is a hedge about them to protect them. He will watch men over you. He will keep you and save you safe and sure because you are the object of his affection. When you bless that person or thing, it becomes the object of God's, and you understand, he becomes a hedge about him. Now listen, it goes on, it gets even better. Are you ready for this? Somebody bind the devil right now and loose the Holy Ghost. Just go ahead, just do it. I bind every hindering spirit right now and I loose the liberty of the Holy Ghost. I bind unbelief. Listen. Now listen. Let's go to voice 25. The Lord Yahweh make his face shine upon thee. Now guys, I don't know how many of those DVDs I got back there, but you need to get one because you're not going to remember even 25% of this. But the word face here means when his face is on you, that you have his divine favor. Lean over and put your hand. Can you take her in the back? Just go ahead. Just go sit in the back. Go on. Get up and go in the back. I'm being nice. Come on. Give me your hand. You gonna be quiet? Don't mean to embarrass you. Okay? All right. I'm sorry. It's gotta stop. You wanna know why? Because if we don't discipline our children, the government will. I know, because I spent 6 years in one of them. So I hope you're not mad at me. But see, the word face means when his face is on you, you have divine favor. You have protection. It implies how his eyes are always on you to protect you. And it also means that he is pleased with you. In other words, God may not be pleased with the sin in your child's life, but when you speak a blessing over that child, God's face is on them for your sake, and he is pleased with them. Are you hearing this? Now, the word shine here, isn't this powerful? Anybody enjoying this? How many want to? And if you'll do this, no, I'm not going to apologize, guys. I'm not going to apologize. Because I'll tell you what, I used to be a bouncer. And if you acted wrong in a bar, they sent me over to take care of it. Now, if we act right in a bar, we sure enough ought to act right in the house of God. And if we don't know how to act right, we need someone to tell us. Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're going to do things in order. Proper order. And I'm going to tell you something else. Don't get mad at the pastor. And don't get mad at her, sister, the first lady, because they didn't say anything to me about this. But I'm telling you guys, the enemy is deceptive, and he'll work through anybody that's not aware of his devices to distract people. And we can't be distracted tonight, because God wants us to invoke some change in our life. God wants us to change our destiny. Now, may he make his face shine upon thee. The word shine here means, listen to this, guys, it means to make luminous. It means a glorious shining. It means that when he looks upon you, like Stephen and Moses, their face glowed. It means to literally burst into flames. That's why John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to latch, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You're not going to blow up in a ball of flames, but God will set you on fire. Would somebody give a look? And the Lord make his face shine upon thee, and let him be gracious unto thee. The word gracious here means, now this is powerful, folks. It means literally. In other words, if I Barak you, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, may his face shine upon you, may he be gracious unto you. You can speak this on yourself. You can speak this, I speak it over my wife, I speak it over my children every morning, and it's the last thing I do every night. And it has completely, completely changed our lives. It literally means, the word gracious means, this is the part of the Father. We saw the part of Jesus, Yahweh. Now we see the active part of the Father at work here. It means to bend down or to stoop down in kindness. It means to stoop down in kindness to one who is inferior. It means to bestow favor, to grant mercy, to have pity on, but never in a condescending way. How many of you have ever noticed that whenever God corrected you, it was with love and it was with mercy? It was never to drive you away, but to bring you closer. Now in verse 26, it says, this is powerful, guys. The Lord, there's Yahweh again, may he lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. The word countenance here, now listen, guys, is the same word as face used earlier. It means to have God's favor. That means when you bless someone and you declare, Bob, when you bless your children, you know, people tell me all the time, Brother John, I can't pray for more than 5 minutes because I run out of things to pray about. Well, if they run out of things to pray about in 5 minutes, they're not binding and they're not loosing. Because, Bob, you know what? You have the authority to bind every wrong thing in your child's life and loose every right thing in its place. You have the right to bind sickness and disease and loose healing. You have the right to bind poverty and loose prosperity. Do you understand? This will change your life. It says that his countenance, it means his favor, it means his protection. You know what else it means? It means acceptance. It implies that his eyes are on you to protect you, because you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful, he can't take his eyes off you. Are you hearing me? Now, may the Lord lift up, I gotta read to you this is powerful too, guys. The word lift in the Hebrew means to accept you, to advance you, to exalt you, to forgive you. It means to help you and to hold you up. Do you know how he holds you up? How many want a marriage proposal from God tonight? You know how he holds you up? By marrying you. But God can't be married to a criminal. So what's God got to do? The word lift means to grant divine pardon. He's married to you because you're completely pardoned. Oh, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It means, and Jane, this blew me away. It means that God regards what you say He blesses what you bless. He blesses what you ask for because he has respect for you. So when you bind and loose, God responds to it because he's lifting you up, because he's made you his bride, and he responds to what you bind and loose because he respects you. This is incredible, saints. And then the word says, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The word give here, I don't know how many times the word give appears in the entire Old Testament, but this word give, translated give here, only appears 3 times. Is there a teacher, I know there's one teacher, are there any school teachers here tonight? Let me see your hands if you're a school teacher, because I need your help here, because I need to know if this is a verb or if it's an adverb or if it's a noun. And I'll explain what I mean by that. The word give that is used here in connection only with the blessing is only used 3 times in the entire Bible. It is a verb in the sense that it represents action. But the reason why I'm not sure if it's a verb is it's not just action, it's a person of action. It means that when I bless someone, it literally means to appoint someone to care for that individual, to give to them whatever you spoke, to heap upon them, to heap upon you, to impute, to ordain, to order, to preserve you, to keep you until whatever blessing was spoken of you comes totally to pass. This can be no one else but the person of the Holy Ghost. God came into your life as your Lord and Savior. Then he gave you the Spirit to invoke, or somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Now, please bear with me because I'm almost done, but I'm not going to hurry here. It's too late to hurry. It says, may he give you peace. The word peace here means to be safe. It means to make complete. See, whenever you bind or lose something in your life, God says, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to keep you, to protect you, to hold you up. And oh, by the way, I'm going to make you safe. I'm going to make you complete. You know why he makes you safe and complete? Because it means he's friends with you. He will give you peace because he's the peace giver. He does so by making amends for you to perfect us, to prosper us. Do you see this? You see the work of Jesus. Now you see the work of the Holy Ghost. I wonder if the Father's involved here. I think he is. Go to the final voice we're going to read tonight. And they shall put my name upon them. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible says we're only instructed to pray in one name. What name is that? It's Jesus. In my name they shall cast out devils. So I can invoke this blessing. I read it every day over Roxanne, over Sarah, over Little John. I speak it over you, Jane. And listen, I'm telling you this. When you speak this blessing, listen, he says, you shall put my name. In other words, in the New Testament, we're taught only to pray in the name of Jesus. So what we're doing, we're saying, I put the name of Jesus upon the children of Israel. I put the name of Jesus upon Sarah. I put the name of Jesus upon Little John. I put the name of Jesus upon Roxanne. Do you know what the word name there means in the Hebrew? It means an eternal memorial. That's why we're warned by God not to lay hands on any man suddenly, because when you lay hands on somebody and you speak the name of Jesus as a child of God, it's eternal. It cannot be taken back. Would somebody give the Lord a hand? Your child. It's okay. It's okay. That also means he shall place my name upon Israel and I will brock them. Do you know what that means? This is the most powerful. We have seen the working of the Son. We have seen the working of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus, God's word says, if you'll place my name, the name of Jesus, upon them, that I will brock them. What that literally means is that God will love that person. Bob, in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing over you. I speak peace upon you. May he be gracious upon you. May his face shine. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he give you peace. Now understand something. The word Barak means that as he becomes the object of your affection, you become the object of his affection. But because we're Christians, we can speak blessing over others, including ourselves. And then the name is eternally, it's an eternal memorial upon our lives forever. But also, it's the name of Jesus. And it literally means that God will love that individual the same way he loves Jesus. That God will do for that individual the same thing he would have done for Jesus when he hung on the cross of Calvary. And that by his stripes, somebody give the Lord a hand. This is powerful, saints. This is powerful. This is powerful. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth. Come here, honey. I'm going to start with you. Because you know why? I need one of my catchers up here real quick. Because you have a heart for God. Throw your hand. You know what she asked me at the beginning, church? She said, Brother John, I want the Holy Ghost to come on me tonight like he came on me last night. And I told her, I said, you could have that. Do you understand something? Do you understand something? In the name of Jesus, oh, he's already there, isn't he, honey? I bind all hindering spirits and I release the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Come here. Come here. Come see an old friend. Come here. No, you don't understand. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Let me ask you a question. As believers, if you don't do any binding and you don't do any loosing, is there going to be too many supernatural things that are going to happen in your life? How many of you know that Brother John will almost pay you to let me pray for you? How many of you know I'm a strong believer in laying on of hands? But Jane will tell you, I've had people come to her after a revival was over and say, you know what? I needed a miracle and Brother John didn't pray for me. All they had to do was ask. Let me tell you something. I know you came tonight as a friend, but you need a miracle. And I'm going to tell you something. You can believe me or not believe me. I hope you believe me. But you came, every one of you, but something big you need bound in your life. But I'm not just going to bind poverty and leave. Okay, if you bind poverty and you don't lose prosperity, you're no longer under the curse of poverty, but you're not living in blessing either. If I bind sickness and I don't lose healing, you're no longer under the curse of sickness, but you're not living in healing either. So you got to bind and loose. That's why there's keys. There's two of them. Binding and loosing. Thus saith the Lord.